Be watchful, be alert. If I were to walk through the church and come and ask each of you individually, what does it mean to you in your spiritual journey to be watchful, to be alert? How would you describe it? And then after you answered that question, I would follow it up with another. What evidence is there in your life that you're being watchful and alert? You see, sometimes I wonder if we have become so familiar with the scripture readings that they no longer cut to the heart. They don't impact us to the point of where we experience conversion and repentance. For instance, the reading today had some very similar words to the gospel reading we just heard on November 11th and 12th. So what, 3 weeks ago? In that one, that was the five wise and the five foolish virgins and the amount of oil they had. It said, stay awake, you know not neither the day nor the hour. And now we hear very similar words again today. So if I were to ask you, since November 11th and 12th, when you heard those words for the first time, what has changed in your life in regard to preparing for eternal life? Last week we heard the words, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. And then the consequences of those lack of actions were spelled out. So during this past week, did you give any thought in your life as to how you may want to improve living out the corporal works of mercy? You see, we hear these admonishments from the sacred scriptures week after week. Is it touching our lives? Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom, gives us the season of Advent every year to reprioritize our life, to prepare our hearts, to prepare the way of the Lord. And so here at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we're coming out of the gate strong. We have the Hallow app. Father Joe introduced that last week to try and help enhance your prayer journey. We're having the parish mission. It begins this weekend with this homily. And then we'll continue on Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Because we don't want these days of Advent to pass us by without growing in wisdom, grace, and holiness. Now, as we started to advertise the parish mission over the last few weeks, several of you have asked me, well, what is a parish mission? Is it a retreat? It is a retreat somewhat. But if you think about retreat, we retreat from the day-to-day expectations of life and come away and rest in the Lord. So a lot of times we think of a retreat, especially for the lay people, as a weekend retreat. You go away on a Friday evening, come back on Sunday afternoon, and hopefully this takes place at a retreat center. In Colorado, we're lucky to have a few retreat centers. The Abbey of St. Walburga in Virginia Dale. You have the Sacred Heart Retreat Center in Sedalia, Colorado, and the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs. Opportunities to step away and rest in the Lord. We have days of recollection. That is a retreat of sort, but it is what it sounds like. It's a day, and it can be a short day or a long day. It can be anywhere from a few hours to 12 hours long. In both of those experiences, we hopefully hear inspirational talks. We get a chance to participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, opportunities to go to confession, and just some time for quiet prayer. So what sets a parish mission apart from those two experiences? We don't necessarily retreat from our day-to-day responsibilities. It's in addition to, so we kind of spread it out over several days. A parish mission can be anywhere from 2 days to 5 days. The norm is generally 3 nights, and that's what we're going to do here. And so what is going to happen during these 3 nights? Hopefully you have an inspirational speaker, okay? All right, you picked up on that, all right. Hopefully you have an inspirational speaker. And so night number one, we want to cover the season of Advent. We joined the Universal Church in celebrating the season of Advent. And so what do I want to look at? I want to look at, what do we believe, why do we believe it, and how does it make a difference in the way that we live? I want to walk us through a spiritual health inventory. You know, just as you go to the doctor to get a physical once a year, it's important for us to look at our spiritual health. And so I will walk us through a spiritual health inventory. On Tuesday night, we will look at being nourished. So I named the three nights Gathered, Nourished, Sent. Very similar to what we do at Mass. We come together, we're nourished, we're sent back out into the world. So on night number two, look at nourished. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops have been promoting Eucharistic revival for a while now, and that's going to culminate next summer in Indianapolis, Indiana. They are hoping to have 80,000 Catholics converge on the city of Indy and to learn more about the Eucharist, to celebrate the Eucharist, and to really give a boost to the reality of the Eucharist in our lives. Now, let's face it, for most of us, the Eucharist is lived out at home. We do it here in our local communities. And so what we want to do here during the parish mission and as a whole is to increase our reverence, to increase our devotion, to increase our understanding of the Eucharist. And so what I want to talk about on Tuesday night is the Eucharist as the source and the summit of our faith, but put it into the context of the whole sacramental life of the church. How does your baptismal call to holiness impact the way you receive Holy Communion? How does the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of confirmation impact the way that you live out your day-to-day lives? How does the sacraments of healing, sacrament of penance, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick impact the way you receive Holy Communion? And finally, how does all of this equip you to live out your life in the sacrament of holy matrimony, and for some of us here in the sacrament of holy orders as well? So all of those things, I want to put that into the context, the source and the summit of our faith in the whole context of the sacramental life of the church. Wednesday night, I want to touch upon the Rescue Project. So if you remember 2 years ago in Advent, we had special homilies that introduced the Rescue Project. Four words: created, captured, rescued, response. Do you remember those words? I hope so. Created, captured, rescued. I think we have done a good job of covering those three topics fairly thoroughly. I want to look at our response. We've been rescued. What is our response to being rescued? We can't just live the same way if Christ is living in us. And so I want to look at St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and I want to look at putting on the full armor of God. How do we become soldiers for Christ, ambassadors of Christ? Our world can be enveloped in darkness in some pretty sad times. We're called to be the beacon of light because we have the light of Christ in us. And so I really want to look at when we're sent forth at the end of each and every Mass, we're sent to be witnesses out in the world. Are we equipped to do that? I want to give us a boost in that area as well. So that's what's going to happen Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. here in the church. So what is the commitment that I'm asking of you? I'm asking for a total of 3 hours of your time. 1 hour, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here. What is the commitment that I'm making to you? Sixfold, if I remember them all. Number one, I will honor your commitment to 1 hour. I will be punctual. We will end on time. I know that's important sometimes. You got other commitments. You want to know that it's going to end on time. 1 hour, we will end on time. Number two, I have prayed for you. I have shared with you in homilies before that years ago I was taught that I have no right to preach to you unless I have first prayed for you. And so when I learned that years ago, anytime I put a speaking engagement on my calendar, I began praying for the people who would be in attendance. I have done that for this mission. Father Joe and I put this on my calendar at the end of April, beginning of May. I don't remember exactly. So I've been praying for you for 7 months. The last few months, I have prayed for you a minimum of 3 times a day. I have remembered your intentions in my daily rosary. And each morning and evening, when I pray the Liturgy of the Hours, there are petitions. And I added a petition 2 times a day for you. I didn't just pray for parishioners of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. I prayed for anyone who would be at the parish mission because we are going to have guests from other parishes. And so my prayer has been, oh Lord, please bless everyone who comes to the parish mission. Meet each person at the point of his or her need. Fill them with your wisdom, your grace, and your holiness. My commitment to you has been to pray for you. Number 3, I have been praying for myself, that I would be open and docile to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as I prepared my talks. I have my talks prepared, but I will also listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as we go through these next 3 days. Number 4, when I have done parish missions in other places, I have seen God move powerfully among his people. And there have been times where people wanted to experience the grace and the forgiveness of God in the sacrament of penance. They wanted to go to confession, and they wanted to go right then. So I asked Father Joe, could we have confessions available? And so he agreed. And so on Tuesday and Wednesday nights, after my mission talk, you will have the opportunity to go to confession if you so choose. Obviously, that extends the time beyond the 1 hour. I am asking for the 1 hour. What you do beyond that is your option. Number 5, I have asked to have prayer teams available. So through my ministry through the years, I have participated in prayer teams. And what that is it's just 2 people, and then an individual comes up and asks for prayer. Sometimes that can be scary for folks, and I get that. It moves me out of my comfort zone when I first started doing that as well. But I am a firm believer that as God's Holy Spirit moves among us during this parish mission, I also believe in the sacred scripture that says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, I am there in your midst. So if we have 2 people that are joining you in prayer, we have 3 people, what happens? We have the assurance of God's presence in that prayer. And it is going to take place right here at the foot of the steps of the sanctuary in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, in the presence of Jesus. And so somebody asked me, well, what does that exactly look like? You can come up and ask for a general prayer if you don't want to share anything specific. Just say, I would like a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. The prayer team will ask you 1 simple question. Is it okay if we place our hand on your shoulder while we pray? And if you say yes, they will do that. If you say no, they won't do that. In years past, during a parish mission, I have seen God move so powerfully, and people have come up to me and asked for prayer and have shared some very vulnerable things about their life. They have told me, I'm addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography. I have one individual told me, I have ruined every relationship in my life. I would like to seek forgiveness. I know I can't put back those relationships because I hurt people so badly, but I want to experience God's healing. When someone is that open and vulnerable, they have to know they're in a safe place. And so the prayer team members know that any particular individual petition that is shared with them, it's held in confidentiality. There has to be that safety and that ability. But my dear people, even if it makes you a little nervous, give it some serious thought about opening yourselves up for that kind of prayer. So finally, the last thing, number 6, I ask for the parish staff to make available some type of social time. So it's either before or after. So after some discussions, we decided to have a meal beforehand. We know that the time frame, it can be tough getting home from work, getting the kids home from school, all of that. And so we wanted to remove as many obstacles as possible to your participation. So from 5 to 5:45 in Seton Hall, a meal will be available if you so choose. I did ask that they end at 5:45, no serving after 5:45. I wanted to allow 15 minutes of transition time from Seton Hall into the church, because once again, I will honor your 1 hour commitment, But you better believe when 6 o'clock comes and we walk in here into this sacred space, God is ready to move. And we are going to open ourselves to the movement of the Holy Spirit in some powerful ways. So that is my commitment to you. People have asked me, is it okay if I bring my kids? Absolutely. Bring them. You have heard me preach often enough now that you know I don't use big theological terms because I would have a hard time understanding them myself. I think I speak pretty plainly. Your children will understand a lot of what is going on. Please bring them. We grow together as a family. So I conclude today with just the words of the gospel: be watchful, be alert. But I want to ask you to be watchful and alert for something very specific. This week, be watchful and alert to see the transforming love of God in a powerful way. It's going to be amazing. God bless you.